The Frequency 49 show is brought to you by Niner Empire GB.
Welcome to the Frequency 49 show. I'm Kat Victorino, and joining me today is Nathaniel James. Welcome to the Nat and Kat show. How you doing, Nathaniel?
Hey, people. Yeah, I'm all good. Thank you. Can't you?
I'm hanging in there. The skies are dark and orange in the middle of the afternoon, but that's life in California these days.
Yeah, I've seen some of the photos. It is quite difficult at the moment.
I actually had a friend on Facebook make the correlation that we have actually moved to Mars because that's what it looks like out there.
Yeah. Are you okay? I mean, I know I'm going off topic and I know we're going to come on to football in a minute, but is everything all okay, you know, in terms of what about the fires and everything else? Is that all okay?
The fire that is about 20 miles northwest of me had a flare up on Sunday.
Oh, blimey.
And so that is contributing to the additional smoke layer seen in the Bay Area, as well as the unhealthy air quality. Oh. But so far, the county has tried opening evacuation centers again and had to close them again because nobody showed up. So it's in a very rural area of my region. So not a whole lot of life and property at stake, just a lot of forest land. And
oh, dear.
You know.
Oh, dear.
It's still scary. It's still scary. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, we also haven't gotten into the worst of our fire season here. So.
Yeah.
More to come. Mm. Where's the doctor when I need him?
And that's with a contender with, obviously the pandemic as well. It's, you know, yeah, it's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. That too. Oh, my goodness. So 2020 has been a year, but now we're ready to talk football.
I'm looking forward to this year. I guess the anticipation of, you know, what happened sort of last year, nobody expected us to be, we were really, they didn't really sort of predict us to do anything, you know, really monumental or substantial, did they? But obviously getting all the way to the Super Bowl was a big thing for the team. So I guess in a sense that there is an anticipation and a pressure now. I think the San Francisco 49ers have a target on their back, and every team that we're going to play is going to be wanting to compete and wanting to be, you know, they're going to want us, aren't they? They're going to want to beat us. Mm-hmm. That we are
exactly.
Actually, you know, at that level now. Defensively, we are one of the best teams in the NFL, it has to be said. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a very, very interesting season. I feel in a sense it's quite sad that we've not really had the preseason, because obviously we've not been able to see some of the raw talent and what's come through. But I guess, you know, they have to make those really, really difficult decisions up top, and it's about what's produced and what comes onto the field. And I'm sure they know what this team's capable of.
Yeah, doing this show is definitely today, in particular, is definitely going to be interesting for both of us, I think, just because we don't have that that talent that we could talk about, you know, who made the practice squad and, oh, let's talk about what they did in this preseason game. You know, we're missing a lot of that. 2020 has been very good at taking things away from us. But also not just the talent evaluation, but also that sense of where the starters stand as a unit. You know, are they still as tight as they were last year, you know, where they were together? And you're right, they are a known quantity now and a moving target, and teams are going to come after us, you know, whereas last year we were just like, oh, these upstart 49ers, oh, whatever, they're 8-0, whatever, you know. Now it's like, oh, well, kind of, wait a minute, that Bosa kid is for real. And now they've got Trent Williams replacing Joe Staley. And, you know, we have a lot of, a lot more proving to do, in my opinion. Probably, you know, mostly because of the last 7.5 minutes of the Super Bowl, but that's just my opinion. But let's talk about the 53-man roster.
Yeah.
The roster was announced about a week ago, and when they released the roster, there were only 52 men on that roster when they were, it was supposed to be 53, and it comes out, we all knew that Fred Warner would be reactivated in time for the first game, so let's save him a spot.
Oh, that's a bit of a relief, really. You were just, you know, you were kind of winging it and hoping on a prayer that, you know, he'd be, you know, everything would be all okay and he'd be able to play. So it's great to have him back. Obviously, he's a big personality on the field, and he brings a lot. He brings a lot to the team. I love watching, you know, the brick by brick documentaries and seeing him. He is a real personality on the field, and he has a real voice. So yeah, it's great to have him back on the squad and ready for Sunday, really. So we're still without that situation where we don't really know what's going to come on Sunday. You're going to have a lot of differences with regards to artificial sound, and obviously I can only go on what, but being that one game when I went over to Santa Clara last year, and really. Well, not last year. Well, yeah, it was last year. And blimey, I can't remember where the time's gone. But, you know,
yeah,
just going over there and actually being part of that crowd and just knowing, you know, that is, you know, and it's just the atmosphere when you're in there is electric. And it's just, you know, for the players being on the field, it's part of the game, isn't it? So I guess it's going to be a missing element for, you know, when these guys take to the field. And I guess they're just going to have to do the best they can, and as you all mentioned on the last podcast about them, you know, certain teams having only sort of a 20% filling of the sports arenas, and that it'll be a very different time. As I say, I've gone on a bit, but it is good to, you know, have Warner back.
Well, and we also are going to get Deebo Samuel back. He was reactivated from the active non-football injury list. And so was Richie James Jr. So slowly, some of our key pieces from last year that did get injured in the in training camp. We didn't have a preseason. It's training camp yet. we're seeing some of those key pieces that got injured during training camp come back just in time for the first game. No matter how weird this first game is going to be, no matter how weird this season is going to be, it's nice to know, as scary as training camp was with the injuries that kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, that we've got some of our key players back.
I was kind of hoping that we'd have a really fit and ready Jalen Hurd, because I think he's really capable of doing something. Mm-hmm. And I'm gutted that he's not going to be playing this year, but I guess, you know, the focus is that, you know, we need to look at the other guys, and it's kind of that next man up mentality that we take from last year into this year. And hopefully, you know, obviously you've got some really good rookies as well. I like the look of Brandon Ayuk. You know, it'll be interesting to see what he brings this year. He seems to be sort of, some of the defensive players seem to be hyping him up. So hopefully, you know, it'll be good to see what he can do. Will he score a touchdown on the opening day? Well, well, we can hope, can't we?
I'll be honest. When players get hurt in the off season and then they're not available for that season, I always get nervous when they come back the following season. And just because I think we have such high expectations of their talent, but every time there's an injury, it's going to start chipping away at that talent, you know, because they're not going to be as nimble. Oh, they're not going to be as quick. They're not gonna, well, unless you're Jerry Rice. but nobody's Jerry Rice. So let's be honest. But, you know, and we're actually going to see McKinnon on the field this year.
I'm really, really excited about seeing him play. I know everybody's been thinking, and when I've been dropped in my fantasy, sort of, I play a lot of fantasy football. He's one guy that I think, you know, is really capable of being one of the leading running backs for this team. I really do think he's capable. Go on.
Even after being out of the game for 2 years, you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you've got to think about kind of the experience of what he brings. And I just think he's been really, really unfortunate and really, really unlucky. Think about Raheem Mostert. When we took Raheem Mostert, nobody anticipated that he'd be, you know, our leading rusher within the playoffs. But what happened? He'd been on how many different teams? Mm-hmm. He'd been a journeyman as a running back. But think about what he, you know, and think about sort of Jet. He's only been kind of with one team, is it? The Vikings? So you don't know what's going to happen. You always anticipate with these guys, you hope that they're going to do well. You hope that they're going to produce. Dante Pettis, possibly another player that really hasn't sort of done anything or stepped up. I know, obviously, John Lynch is very much of the opinion that he's going to be a real factor this year. But just going back to Jet, I really do think that he is kind of capable. And I think, you know, I know he's been out of the game for like, well, almost 3 years now, but I mean, he's been keeping up with his fitness. Obviously, Shanahan sees something in him. He can block. He's very good at blocking. I guess, in a sense, that the scheme with regards to Shanahan, his offensive scheme is very much based on kind of blocking and being able to kind of, you know, do different moves. But in terms of how, you know, with regards to all the players, Kittle is a, you know, a key kind of guy that's a blocker. And I know that, you know, obviously that there's an addition to the other tight ends with regards to him. But I you know, I do believe that Jet, with the fact that he can block and the fact that he is able to run, the fact that he is able to receive, I think he's going to be one of these key guys. And he's proved it in training camp. I don't know. Maybe I'm hyping him up too much. Maybe I'm getting excited a little too much for the football.
You know, I'm going to play the devil's advocate every chance I get. I got to keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
But seriously, I mean, I'm excited to see what he still has in the tank, you know, what he can bring to the team. I don't think you're ever going to have the player that he was a couple seasons ago.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Only Jerry Rice was able to do that. So,
yeah, this is very true. And you know, we all miss Jerry. And I saw the video that somebody posted on the Niner Empire of GB the other day. He was sort of there hyping up the players, getting all the guys ready, and he seemed more excited than the players.
And
which was
he's always been involved. I mean, ever since he retired, he's still involved with the Niners, and I love it. I love that he's still excited. Yeah. To see these kids play, you know?
Yeah, I love absolutely. It.
So what do we think about we're keeping three quarterbacks on the roster again?
It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nick Mullins, he's definitely experienced, and he's definitely, you know, he can fill that need for when, you know, obviously when we lose Jimmy G. But, I mean, no, touch wood, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, please no.
No, we've had enough motion with regards to it. Well, and I'm not jinx. I hope I've touched wood, so hopefully, okay. You know, I've not jinxed it.
I'm knocking on wood.
But the difficulty is, I guess, in a sense, you know, you've got Nick Mullins, and then you've got Bethard as well. It is hard because these guys, you know, they are backups. I think the market on CJ Bethard, I mean, I get the feeling in terms of what's been mentioning, Lynch has been quite, you know, he's been open to kind of, in a sense, trading him to another team so that he's able to develop further. So I guess it'll be interesting to see what happens.
It'll be interesting to see what happens as we go into these contracts expiring.
Yeah.
And what way Shanahan and Lynch decide to go. Do they want to continue with the three quarterback thing? Which makes sense only because if your starter goes down and then you're relying on your backup, what happens when if your backup goes down? And I've seen that happen. We've seen that happen, you know? So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Moving forward, the team captains were announced earlier today. Totally expected. Jimmy Garoppolo is once again a captain. George Kittle, Mike McGlinchey, Trent Williams, Eric Armstead, Richard Sherman, and Fred Warner all made team captains. Now, yes, that's only 7 of the 8 allowed captains in the NFL for each NFL team. Shanahan's statement to that point was it saves us one to plug in later. All leaders in their position.
You know, they're all really experienced guys. And Garoppolo is capable with when you give him time, he'll be able to, you know, play his game and, you know, he'll be able to read the get. He is able to read the field. He is able to make those really decent passes.
Well, and everyone is saying that Trent Williams is just kick-ass. I mean, he and Bosa have been going at it all training camp. And, you know, we kind of touched on it last week, some of the video that emerged of the two of them going at each other, as they should, you know, as they're practicing. Not that they were, like, fighting or anything. I don't mean to imply that at all. But I'm really excited to see how that line holds up with Williams in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, just going back to Trent Williams, obviously he's hyped up about, you know, how well Bose has been doing. Another guy that I think is really going to perform well is this year is Javon Kinlaw. I think he brings a lot to the team. And I think, you know, he's been impressed. And obviously Williams wouldn't just say that about anybody. He's an experienced tackle. So, you know, I think, you know, potentially Kinlaw could be, you know, he could be Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's, you know, potentially got that. So that's a key guy to watch out for on Sunday. Really excited to see how he performs.
And if you're not checking out 49ers.com and reading the In My Own Words, the rookies have been posting each week their thoughts about the season, about being drafted, about being with the Niners, about who they're playing with, and give us kind of a background on who they are. And this week, it's Javon Kinlaw. So head over there and check it out. He's a neat kid. I'm looking forward to see him play, too. I'm looking forward to see all of them play on Sunday. Can't wait.
Absolutely. And absolutely. I can't wait either. And I also like to add that I do like listening to the Matt Miyoko podcast. That's a really good one to listen to, because he, you know, him and Laura Britt, they really do, you know, they do a great task. Not that I'm trying to suggest that you shouldn't listen to
our
podcast,
we have a great podcast too.
Oh, absolutely, we have a great one as well. But I it's just, you know, it's respect to people and trying to kind of, you know, you aim to try and sort of listen and know and find out some more.
Well, for ages, we've been faithful then and faithful now, but the Niners have changed their fan initiative. It's now called Faithful to the Bay. The 49ers say it celebrates the commitment of the team's fans from the Bay Area and beyond. So, guys, they're acknowledging you. The campaign, this is direct from 49ers Chief Marketing Officer Alex Chang. The campaign is intended to build a year over year and celebrate things like the franchise's 75th anniversary next year. To quote Alex Chang, Faithful to the Bay is more than a motto for the 49ers. It's a unifying idea for the faithful throughout the world. It embodies the shared commitment of our fans and our team have to each other and to our community at large. And I'm sorry, I just love that sentiment. Because think about it. If it weren't for the 49ers, I would not be talking to you right now.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, you think about, and, you know, obviously there's people that listen to this podcast that are over in the States. And I'm, you know, I'm just a fan of the game. I love watching this game. It is just amazing to watch, and the, you know, the excitement of having it when it comes back and feeling depressed when it goes away. It's just, it's not nice. But, I mean, you know, faithful to the Bay and faithful to the idea of faithful throughout the world. So, you're looking at fans, the fan base, you know, you're talking about, you know, the Niner Empire, you know, GB, you know, you've got Niner Empires throughout the States. And then obviously you've got through Europe, Germany, you know, Sweden, places like that. It's just, you know, it kind of obviously, I think that's quite a good marketing sort of thing in terms of trying to think about things and development around what's happened and thinking about when you know, obviously this year we're you know, the fans over here are really in the UK are going to miss, you know, the Wembley games and the NFL UK. So it's nice to kind of keep that, and it's good. I guess I'm hoping that, you know, Faithful to the Bay isn't a dig at some of the Raiders fans in Oakland, because obviously they've...
Because they've flooded. They've left us. Again.
But I guess in a sense, you know, you need to look at it. When I was over in Oakland last year, I was quite surprised at how Oakland was quite a difficult area, you know, well, not a great area to be visiting. It was quite industrial, wasn't it? And it was, you know, the kind of some of the situations and people living in tents and just it isn't great. It isn't a great area. And, you know, I think when when we were on the train, because we were going to a place out in, we went to a shopping outlet sort of past Oakland. I can't remember what it's called, but we were sort of, I went past the old Raiders stadium, and it was, you know, in comparison to looking at Levi, it was completely dated. So I'm kind of going off on a tangent with regards to Oakland, but yeah, let's come back to
Oakland.
49ers
actually,
anyway.
I'm just being a Bay Area native. I'm going to defend Oakland just a bit. The 101 corridor and anywhere that you pass through on the train tracks, you're not seeing the best of Oakland. That's for sure. There are parts of Oakland that are absolutely beautiful, and especially up in the Oakland Hills.
I only took sort of snapshot.
You saw such a minuscule little piece.
I really do apologize to anybody that's listening and thinking, "Oh my God, what is this UK twat talking? UK person talking about?"
And I used to go to Oakland for concerts and games all the time, so you know.
No.
Anyway, back to football.
Yeah.
Let's talk Niners. So before we get into the game that's coming up on Sunday, what do you expect to see out of this team this year?
I think you're going to see a lot more of what we saw kind of last year, and it's probably going to be a bit more of development, because obviously we're thinking about some of these guys that, you know, have played under Shanahan's scheme now for a few years, and it is quite a complex scheme, as we've mentioned before. I think that the team is going to get used to this. And obviously you've got some rookies that are going to need to kind of try and get used to it. But I think that they are capable of really, you know, progressing well. And I think, you know, there's no reason why we're not playoff contenders. We've proven that last year. I know a couple of years ago we were sort of thinking, when Garoppolo came over, I was really excited because I thought we are going to dominate in this league. As I say, we'll just have to sort of see what happens. I think there's every possibility that we're able to, you know, perform really, really well. And in terms of our defense, I think, you know, we've got really good defense. As I say, one of the best defenses in the NFC, the NFL as well.
I expect, of course, I'm going to throw my opinion in here.
Absolutely.
I think we're going to see a stronger team all around. I think the team has learned a lot from last year. No one expected us to go as far as we did, let's face it. Everyone counted us out, like every week. We were like, oh yeah, this will be the week. Oh yeah, this will be the week. Oh yeah, this will be the week. I mean, we heard that all year. You know, even after we had our loss, you know, it was still, oh yeah, see, they're really nothing. It's a blip on the radar. And I'm already hearing pundits say, yeah, the Niners aren't going to be anything this year. And I honestly think, I think we're going to be stronger than we were last year. We may not do as well record wise, but I think we're going to be more dominant on the field. And I think those teams that really take advantage of the tape from last year are going to be the ones that get the edge on us and figure out, you know, how to put the chinks in the armor. I'm really excited to see what the defense does this year. I'm so glad we got Fred Warner back today. Oh my gosh. I mean, you guys all know I love my pick six. I'm ready. I really want to see Sherm get a couple this year. I've changed my opinion of him drastically over the last few years since he joined our team, and I'm really impressed by that man. Again, I would love to see him coach our DBs later in the year or later in his career. So I think we're in for a good year. We may only win 10 games, but I still think that we're going to be one of the strongest teams in the league.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you. I get a bit fed up because there's all this anticipation about, you know, everybody thinks like Brady and Gronk have gone to Tampa Bay. Now, don't get me wrong, I do like Tampa Bay. I've visited there. It's a nice place to kind of visit, and I do remember when, you know, in a sense, when Lynch played for them and that. And well,
I so he guess was
that,
on their Super Bowl team, that. So, you know.
He was, yeah. And I think you're talking about two retired, well, I thought I'd say retired, but
veteran retired, players.
Yeah, very veteran players.
Probably and, past honest, their prime.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I don't see what all the hype's about.
I don't either.
I mean, you know, you've got people like Mike Evans. He's a good wide receiver, but really, you're sort of thinking they're going to win it all. They're going to win the NFC
just because they picked up two veteran players who have won Super Bowls in the past, in their prime. I mean, yeah, I really don't see it. Honestly, those two are really in the twilight of their career, and I don't think they have enough left in them to bring the Buccaneers to relevance. Sorry, John, my brother-in-law, who is a diehard Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, also listens to this podcast. John. But
sorry, John. I do. Don't get me wrong. I do like. I've got a sentimental heart for Tampa Bay, but I'm sorry. I still don't think with regards to that.
It's not going to make that big of a difference. But you know what? No. For the 49ers, the first thing we have to do is get through the Cardinals this weekend.
And I think it's going to be a really tough task. I think this game, it could be a banana skin game. They are a good team. They've picked up some really key guys in the free agency. It will be quite difficult. You know, you've got Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk. I like Christian Kirk. He's a really good player. Again, he's a guy that's been, you know, he's been playing for a year or so, and I like the look of him when I saw him on when he was drafted and everything. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, I think he's potentially one of the, you know, he's a good player. So you're talking about, you know, offensively, they are really quite a dangerous team.
Well,
and it could be, yeah.
Kyler Murray, I mean, you know, he's, it'd be interesting to see how he's developed from last year.
Hmm.
There's a little part of me that is just like, oh, he could be dangerous.
I saw a funny photo earlier on of, it was kind of like an NFL memes kind of photos, because sometimes those sort of photos make me laugh, and they had a picture of Kyler Murray, because he's not very tall, is he?
No, he's
quite
a
short guy. And they had DeAndre Hopkins next to him, and he was like 6 foot plus and 4 foot nothing. So it was quite interesting to to have those comparisons in a sense. But yeah, I think offensively, Arizona, they are a really, you know, they are a strong team. Larry Fitzgerald is kind of, in a sense, he is that Niner killer that we've mentioned before, and he, you know, he might be coming towards the end, but he's certainly, you know, he's a good wide receiver, well, isn't he?
And he's shown for the last 2 years, even though you know he's coming to the end of his career, he's still got enough in the tank to be dangerous, and he has been dangerous against us.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I guess the only thing that I'm, you know, when looking at the analysis and everything, they have a good offense, but they're going up against one of the best defenses in the NFC, so can they produce anything? Are they able to do something with, you know, in terms of playing us? It's, you know, I guess it's down to what happens on Sunday.
Absolutely.
But I guess in terms of thinking from their perspective on defense, I was looking earlier on with regards to it, I don't think they've really changed anything with regards to their defense. So defensively, I don't think they're overly strong. Yeah, they've got Patrick Peterson, who's a good cornerback, but it's not like nothing's really sort of changed. And from the perspective of last year, when they had, you know, obviously that opportunity to develop and get some more defensive sort of ends or anything like that, I don't know really. There's nothing that really. I mean, Buda Baker, okay, yeah, good safety, but I don't know, really. It's a hard one to sort of call. I don't think, you know, from a defensive perspective, I don't think there's anything that I'm really overly concerned about. But I think the offense is something that we really need to be really, really careful of.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, last year, Arizona averaged 22.6 points per game last year. They were tied for number 16 in the NFL. They surrendered 27.6 points per game last year for 28th in the NFL. Now, the Niners averaged 29.6 points per game last season, number three in the NFL. And we surrendered 19.5 points per game last season, which came in for number seven in the NFL. So I think you're right. I don't think if we're roughly the same team as we were last year and they're roughly the same team as they were last year, I don't think we have anything to worry about.
No, but I guess in a sense that with Arizona, they always give us a game, don't they?
They do.
They
have Larry Fitzgerald that right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we always tend to, not struggle, but it always tends to be one of these kind of close, down to the wire sort of games. So could it potentially happen on Sunday? Yeah, possibly. But I think, you know, we need to think about our team and how, and the comparisons between our team and their team. They are going up against a real, you know, Arizona are not going to, it's not, they, you know, they might be able to, you know, they've got some offensive players, but from a defensive perspective, obviously they do struggle. But I guess, as I said, it comes down to defense wins championships, you know, and playoffs. Offense, yeah, they, you know, they can, but.
We need them to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, very true. And I'm not going to even mention about Kansas City, about how...
Oh, let's not talk about them. Yeah.
No.
Them.
Stop swearing that.
That's a dirty word.
Yeah.
Well, take heart. Our last meeting against the Cardinals, which, you know, we meet them twice a year, was November 17th of last year, and we won 36-26. That's about right. I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think we can do that again.
Oh, absolutely. But I think it was very much, and I think it was one of those games that was really what kind of, in a sense, down to the wire, because I think our defense did what it needed to do.
Yeah, that was the one that DJ Reed had the fumble recovery for a touchdown at the end of the game.
We're probably going to need to, you know, in a sense, rely on our defense again to play through. And I think, obviously, we are capable of doing it. I think Nick Bosa is really...
He's coming along great.
Oh, I think he's going to be big, because he'll bring a lot to it. And you kind of feel that, you know, last year he was just in his, you know, kind of rookie year. But this year, when you've got Trent Williams saying about how big he is playing and how much dominance he is, you know, and he's able to dominate the line, it speaks volumes, and it's trying to kind of control him. There are a lot of dynamics, and, you know, in a sense, that Arizona offensive line are going to have to bring it, and they're going to have to hold that line, because you are going to have lots of different dynamics of different players coming in from all different positions. So,
yeah. Oh, it's exciting.
It is
so exciting.
I'm really looking forward
too.
To Sunday.
And just to wrap up the game preview, the Niners lead this all-time series 31-26-0. So do you have a prediction for the score for this week's game?
I think I'm probably going to go with the same prediction. I think if our defense can hold, I think there's no reason that it can be that sort of 10-point deficit. But I saw the other day Jerry Rice put a statement on Twitter, I think it was, and we love Jerry. I know we've mentioned him a lot in this podcast, but
and we'll continue to do so.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, he was sort of saying that wouldn't it be good to make a statement in the first opening game?
Oh, heck yeah,
that would be great. Oh, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? So I'm going to say, let's go with Jerry Rice. I reckon we can win this game by at least 10 plus points.
Okay. I like it. I am going to assume that the Cardinals are up to the challenge of the 49ers and have improved their line and play a bit. And I still think the Niners are going to win. But I think it's going to be closer than that. I think it's going to be like 24-20. I think the Niners will win by like 4 points.
Okay. I guess the difficulty is that when you think about this division, like the NFC West, now the teams in the NFC West, no matter which way you look at it, they all, they're probably one of the most powerful divisions in the NFC, really, mm-hmm. in terms of the team itself. So obviously you've got the Niners, Cardinals are quite good, you know, they're developing well. Then you've got, you know,
the Rams and the Seahawks.
And yeah. Yeah.
I mean, all potentially solid teams and have been for years. And yeah, it's funny how it comes back around where there's one division that's just strong all the way around.
Yeah. And I guess the other, you know, obviously I think Matt Miocco was sort of saying the other day that obviously you can think about the NFC West being one of the strongest divisions, but then, you know, you followed that probably, you know, you look at the NFC South, they're also quite strong, mm-hmm. but yeah, I think it's going to be a really, I mean, when you're playing these division rivals, I think, you know, no matter which way you look at it, they are tough sort of games and everything.
Well, I think we're the strongest of the division right now. I think we've worked hard at that the last 3 years, and yeah. I think our prospects are improving.
Absolutely.
One last question. What do you think the Niners' record will be at the end of the year? We do this every year. Come on.
I think we can win at least 10 games.
Okay.
I think we can certainly do that. I think we are certainly a contender. I guess one thing that, you know, I'm a bit concerned about is that we lost Samuels last year to New Orleans. You know, because he was quite a, you know, you needed that guy, that presence with regards to a receiver. So I don't know. Hopefully, you know, obviously with Kittle being, with his contract being extended, hopefully he can bring it. And then we've got, you know, two, you know, quite capable receivers in, you know, kind of, and possibly, I know that we've not really made much focus on Pettis, but I think, I don't know, maybe could this be his year? Could he actually prove that when you think about it, he's got the expectation is if he doesn't do anything this year, then he's going to probably get cut next year. Because I don't think, you know, you've got to, it's about performance, and it's a results based business, isn't it?
It is.
So I think, yeah, certainly we've got to, you know, as I say, going back, we've got some capable receivers with regards to this team, and you know, our defense is good, so I don't see why there shouldn't be any reason why we can't, you know, win 10 games and hopefully make it to the playoffs. Even if there is, you know, is there going to be a playoff? Hopefully there is.
Hopefully,
you know,
there's going to be a season. Yeah. We don't even know how far this will go, to be honest, given our current circumstances. We already don't have fans in the stands, or some teams only have a few fans in the stands. It'll be interesting to see if they play a full season. I think we're going to win 12 at least.
Yeah.
I think it'll be 12.
Yeah, certainly.
So,
yeah.
But that's, you know, my opinion. Well, I think we beat that horse to death. Thank you for joining me, yeah. Nat.
No, thank you. It was good to have another Nat and Cat show.
Yeah.
We should have our own theme tune, really, shouldn't we?
I know, right? Well, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening to the Nat and Cat Show of the Frequency 49 Show. Thanks to Audionautix.com for the music. Thanks to Andy Mitchell, Daryl Nils Handman, Deepak Gohill, Graham Ross, James Little, Jason Argo, Mark Lyon, Nathaniel James, Neil Jepson, Paul McDonald, Rob Newell, Ross Irwin, Simon Holdsworth, and Stephen Box for all the work they do on the show and in the group. My apologies if I missed anyone. And if you would like to be involved in the show, just let us know. We're always looking for members to help out, contribute, or appear on the show. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Niner Empire GB, and on Facebook, search for the group Niner Empire GB. Be sure you check out the Frequency 49 blog on Podbean or your favorite podcast site. You can also email us at frequency49show@gmail.com. We will catch you next time. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone. Enjoy Sunday, and let's go Niners.
Go Niners.